Now, we are going to go start off with the visit to the public gallery in the Dáil earlier today by Natasha O'Brien, who, of course, survived the attack in Limerick by Cathal Crotty, a serving soldier in the Irish Defence Forces. The Ceann Comhairle, Sean O'Farrell, welcomed her to the Dáil Chamber in what he described as a break with tradition.
I'm going to break with tradition. Thank you for coming here today, Natasha. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to respond to the circumstances that you find yourself in. Can I ask everybody here to stand and applaud Natasha?
Well, that was the sound of some of the standing ovation there in the Dáil, concluding that. And Taoiseach Simon Harris also spoke of the need to know if a serving member of the Defence Forces had a criminal conviction.
I mean, just to try and touch on some of the issues you've raised, in the case of an enlisted member of the Defence Forces, I'm told that following a conviction where imprisonment or a suspended sentence is awarded and where an appeal has been heard or not submitted, the process for discharge commences upon receipt by the military authorities of the certificate of conviction. What does that mean? I mean, we need to actually start speaking in plain English here. If you have a criminal conviction, you have no right to be in our Defence Forces. Plain and simple. We need to know how many people in the Defence Forces have a criminal conviction and when are they leaving. And that is not too much for me as head of government to ask.
And that was Simon Harris there. Harry McGee, what else was said in response to what happened to Natasha O'Brien?
Yeah, so, I mean, it was very, it was a break with tradition, but it was very unusual and it was a very emotional and plaintive moment in the Dáil to see this brave and resilient young woman who was only 24 years of age and being given a standing ovation. And she has been out very bravely following the decision last week to highlight this issue, which is gender-based violence, and the fact that she is of the view that she didn't get caught in the vein or equality in terms of her own circumstance. And with the Taoiseach, he was... It reminded me a little bit, and I don't want to be fatuous about this, about Bertie, the bystander, Bertie Ahern. Some issue would come up and Bertie Ahern would say, that's a really terrible issue, we'll have to do something about it. But he was the person who was the leader of the country and was in a position to do something about it. Simon Harris was quite good, but he sounded more at times like an opposition leader than the Taoiseach today, even though as Taoiseach he probably is impatient to get something done. He said at another instance that it was utterly unacceptable that I have to stand here as Taoiseach of this country and cannot answer the question how many people with criminal convictions are in the Defence Forces today. Mary Lou MacDonald, who raised the question during Leader's Question, said that there was a judicial system, Defence Forces, a political system and a society that is failing to confront the issue of violence against women. And she said that that fails us all. Equally, Holly Cairns, she focused in on the Judicial Council and was archly critical of the Judicial Council. She said there are some very serious questions for it. It was set up in 2019, but it was yet to issue sentence guidelines, despite being in existence for 5 years now. It might have been set up in shadow form in 2019. It did take a while to become formally established, but it's still a long period of time, and that was a valid point. And Cathal Berry made a slightly counter... he gave a kind of a counter argument in some instances, and defended the army. Of course, he's a former army officer himself. He said the Defence Forces have been screaming for changes in Defence Forces regulations over the years. They've been looking for powers of suspension and powers of dismissal for gross misconduct. So there are two issues involved. The one that relates to the Defence Forces is a serious one. And it's a problem for the Defence Forces, and senior officers within the Army have been conducting an audit this week to find out if there are similar problem cases. My colleagues Conor Gallagher and Arthur Beasley have in their reporting have suggested there might be up to 20 cases that give rise to problems in relation to convictions, maybe not all specifically in relation to gender-based violence.
All right. Holly Cairns, Gary Gannon was making the point that with the Taoiseach talk about zero tolerance, that we've heard this before, whether that's been in association with an attack on a woman, be that a sexual assault or a physical attack, or even in the case of murder, that we hear things described as watershed moments, and that this must end, and yet it comes up again.
Yeah, I think the point that Holly was making today very well was that too often in the Dáil Chamber and in politics and probably wider society, more general, we hear that never can we allow this to happen again, often after a violent attack of a man against a woman. I mean, we had a scenario in the Dáil up but 3 years ago following the horrendous murder of Aisling Murphy, when all of us stood and said never again, and other names were referenced too. And then too often we come back in and say, it's happened again. So Holly was making that point today, but she was also being solution focused.
Well, that's weird. What specifically, out of the specifics of the Natasha O'Brien case, what you know, if you want to address some of what came up in that, fine, but what specifically would you like to see done immediately?
Yeah, so I think specifically, so we mentioned the issue of an ombudsman for victims of crime. This is something that takes place in Canada, who also operate a common law system similar to our own. So even if used as a template, an ombudsman for victims of crime could in scenarios be able to intervene on behalf of a victim, but also act in it before that. So provide framework for judges, people in the legal profession, that actually demonstrate good, clear guidelines about how we don't re-traumatise a victim as they come to court, ensuring that people not only get the justice that they're after, but also get the treatment that they deserve well through that process and not re-traumatising. Holly also focused in very clearly on the issue of the Judicial Council. Harry is right, the Judicial Council was set up in 2019. It probably wasn't given body until a little bit later on, but in 2022 their annual report said a review of district court judges and the experiences of sentencing and domestic abuse cases was underway, and that happened in mid-2022. It concluded in that year, and we've heard no word of what that review came since then. Holly was also talking about sentencing more generally, the issue of victim impact statements. And look, when we said never again, she referred back to the 1993 case of Lavinia Kervik, who
actually spoke over the weekend, I think, to the Sunday Times, and said she couldn't believe she was hearing another case the like of this in the courts, and actually she found it re-traumatising to see a young woman in this situation.
Incredible. And so what stemmed from that 1993 case and the rightful for or afterwards was the victim impact statement, and weight that could be given to a victim impact statement after sentencing to the court, and the judges having that within their power to take that into consideration and apply sentencing afterwards. And look, without referring to specifics, very clearly that hasn't been the case in recent judgments.
Okay. Louise O'Reilly, is there anything you'd add on behalf of Sinn Féin that you'd like to see done specifically in order to tackle what's happening to victims of violence in Ireland?
Well, first of all, I want to send my solidarity to Natasha O'Brien, and I want to commend her for having the courage to speak out. She was 22 when that attack happened. It's very, very hard to conceive of that, a 22-year-old woman who was calling out homophobic abuse, and she was battered unconscious by a serving member of the Defence Forces, who then posted it on social media. Two to put her out, two to keep her down, whatever it was. It was absolutely disgusting to hear that. I'm a mam to a daughter myself, also a woman that walks around in our city and around this state. And it is absolutely, we're literally jaded having to again and again and again speak about personal experiences, tell our story, that patronising phrase, continuously having to speak out and come forward and be reliant on brave women like Natasha to call out flaws in the system. And there's a lot that can be done, but we need to look at the message that was sent, I think, this afternoon in the Dáil. And Mary Lou MacDonald, our party leader, she raised the issue first, and others did too. And it was important to hear that, but I think it was quite something to hear the detached attitude of An Taoiseach, as if this had suddenly crept up. The man wasn't a little bit curious about what was going on in the Defence Forces beforehand, and now he's banging the table and demanding to know how many serving members of the Defence Forces.
All right, I'll get a response from Tim Lumberton on that. But back to the original question: what specifically would you like to see done?
If we are to do justice to women like Natasha, and indeed like Lavinia Kervik, because I remember well her interview on the Gerry Ryan show and the chorus of never agains that came after that. If we're to do justice, we need more resources for An Garda Síochána. We need more resources for our judicial system to support victims, because it was quite a traumatising, and it is quite a traumatising experience to have to go through the judicial system in that way. We also need fully funded domestic homicide and femicide reviews. That doesn't happen. That should happen, and it needs to happen. Right. We need to increase the funding to legal aid so that there are supports there for victims of crime as they go through the judicial system. And we also need to be brave enough to call this out wherever it happens. But that has to start at the top. And I really cannot stress enough unedifying it was to hear the response of An Taoiseach today.
All right, I'll let you respond to some of what Louise O'Reilly has raised there. But I do want to ask you just in the specific issue. So we've heard over the course of the day, and indeed over the last number of days since last week, the issue of sentencing guidelines being looked at. A call today again from the independent TD Cathal Berry for the military regulations to be revised and for clarity to be provided on the issue of people going to court and whether or not they are amenable to the court to give somebody's employment record, and perhaps also to clarify a schedule of offences that would result in immediate dismissal from the Defence Forces or indeed any state service. They're all within the gift of government to do. It sounds like there would be cross-party support to do it, so why not do it?
Look, first of all, look, on this case, I just want to outline my sympathies to the lady involved and what happened to her. It was absolutely frightening. I think as a father of two young girls in particular, it's a parent's worst nightmare to think that a 22-year-old girl could be assaulted in such a manner when she was coming to the defence of someone who's been verbally assaulted, and like literally to be knocked unconscious, and the event was just frightening. And I think, you know, as a parent, it is our worst nightmare. And I think, you know, what we've seen here today is that we've seen Simon Harris in particular come up very, very strong about what needs to happen within the Defence Forces. And I think what he's basically said today is that we need to know exactly who, what and when is actually happening there. And what Harry has just said there, that there's potentially up to 20 people that could have a criminal record that are serving.
He said in front of the Dáil, though, that anyone with a conviction should be dismissed from the Defence Force. Is that everything? Is that driving offences? Is that public order offences? Or is it crimes against the person? What does he mean by that?
Look, I can't just describe exactly what he means, but my view here is that it's crimes against the person, that if you have if you have a criminal conviction of assault of any or nature like that, there's no place you in the actual Defence Forces itself. But I think Taoiseach will clarify that remark himself. That's my view, is that if you have a situation where anyone who's involved in an assault issue and is serving in the Defence Forces, that is totally inappropriate. And I think what we need to see here now is the Defence Forces come up with actual clarity. And I think if you're listening to what Harry's to tell us here, that report potentially could be on the desk of one of the ministers at a Tánaiste tomorrow, which could be really serious regarding where we are to the Defence Forces. And if we are on about 20 people that are involved in some nature of assault and still serving, then something needs to be done about it. And about the other issues that need to be raised, like there's a Commission of Defence that's set up, we need to start enacting those recommendations.
Okay, but just on the issue of sentencing guidelines, which have been raised by both Gary Gannon and Louise O'Reilly and indeed other people over the last number of days, does that need to be looked at again?
I think, look, there's a commission that's looking at that. It has brought forward a report. I know it was in 2000 and 2003, but there is a need now to look at those.
But even where is that report that Gary referred to in 2022, produced in 2022?
I can't state directly where it is. I've no knowledge one way or the other regarding that issue itself. But I do think the general public have looked and are looking in horror at the moment of where we are regarding what happened to that poor lady. But also we just need to acknowledge the work that's been done by Helen McEntine the last few years, in particular in this case. And what I'll say about that is that she's brought in significant legislation. She's changed really significant laws that have been really, really appropriate. And my dealing with Helen McEntine in issues like the West Cork Beacon Project, which we've seen, had been very, very positive.
Okay,
could I just address that very briefly? Because Natasha O'Brien herself had a very direct message for Helen McEntee, in which she said, I would not need to speak out if you were doing your job correctly in the first place. And I do think, you know, we need to listen to victims in this. And when people have the courage to come forward, they need to have the comfort of knowing that
action will be taken. So the significant laws that Helen
has
brought forward have been really groundbreaking. I don't think there's ever been a Minister of Justice that has been as strong at this point in Helen and McEntee.
Well, all I'm saying is you just need to listen to victims too.
We're going to leave that topic there. It's something that, no doubt, and unfortunately, we'll probably have to come back to on future programmes.